Okay, thank you, Brother Chuck. If we would, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Psalm. And we are going to go to Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We had a very interesting situation happen yesterday. And funny enough, in my outline, I've got intro A, using a lamp when the electricity goes out. How many had your electricity go out last night? Our skipped. Mrs. Byford, Matthew, do you have electricity yet? 1 o'clock this afternoon, your electricity came on. Amen. Does anybody else without electricity right now from last night's storm? Okay. Now, when your lights went out last night, it was still actually pretty light, but when that storm came through, that was pretty dark, wasn't it? It got pretty dark when that storm came through. But when you lost electricity, what happened into your house? It went dark, didn't it? Okay? And, you know, what did you do? How did you handle the darkness? Flashlight?
Had to
change the battery. Okay. Cell phones. Yeah, you've got the old flashlight on the cell phone. I kind of use that at night myself because I'm usually the last one to bed and I'll turn out the lights. But, you know, when the lights goes out due to an electrical failure, or if the lights go out because, you know, you're shutting everything down to go to bed, how many of you, after shutting everything down to go to bed, just go to your bedroom and go to bed without turning on another light? Yeah, what kind of happens in between the last light turning off and you getting into bed? I don't know how many stub toes I've gotten due to one reason or another. I remember one time, this was recent, I got all the lights shut off. I get into the bedroom. I take my phone and I put it on the charger. I take my watch off and I put it onto the charger. And I turn around to go into bed. And strangely enough, and this is our fault, but strangely enough, our door is to the bedroom is on my side of the bed. Okay, so I'm walking and I usually put my arm out and I try to reach for the door so that I know where it is, and then I can go to bed. Yeah, one time it hit me square right here. And I'm like, boom, boom. Door! And I moved. That's how it was, too. And Sandy goes, what happened? I ran into the door. And I go to bed. You know, other times, you may be walking around and you know, you'd run into something, you stub your toe, you know, because there's no light. It's dark. We can't see, can we? We can't see what might be in our way. We can't see what we might step on. You know, we got to clean up after our dog quite a bit because she has this food that has blueberries. And if we're not careful, we'll step on a blueberry and it's like, oh, dog. She doesn't like her blueberries. It's like, ugh. You know, when you're going to the kitchen, to get a drink of water or something, I don't turn lights on. But that's what we do. You know, that in some ways, that's what we do. You know, it's dark. But we still go ahead and try to walk through anyway. And I'll keep that thought in mind. Scripture is our secure guidebook to return us to a right relationship with the Lord when we abandon the road of righteousness or stray from the path of peace. The Word of God is an inextinguishable lamp to guide us along the right path. And it is a radiant light that banishes the shadows of uncertainty by illuminating the next step in this sin-soaked world. Okay? We have, again, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for bringing us to your house safely, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just ask you now to be with us as we go through your word, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask that you be with Pastor and Joe while they're driving. I believe they should be stopped for service, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we just ask that you just continue to watch and be with them and Pastor Nathan and Miss Karis while they're at the FBF conference, dear Lord. Just allow that to go well, Heavenly Father. And Lord, again, be with us here this evening as we look at your word. Look at your word as it pertains to a lamp and a light, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just ask that you just continue to be with us this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to discuss a couple of things. For those of you that know me, one of the things that I kind of like to do is kind of take some of the words that we find in the Bible and define them. Many of you know that I have this saying, words mean something. And so, one of the things I did with this passage is, so what do these words say? Okay? So, the first thing that I want to do is I want to define a couple of words. I want to define a lamp and I want to define a light. Okay? So first, a lamp. Okay? What is a lamp? A means of giving light. Webster's 1828 dictionary says a vessel for containing oil to be burned by means of a wick or a light. Has anybody ever seen a lamp? I'm sure some have. Some may not. Lamp, you got your oil down here, you got your wick in here. Okay, we're going to play with that a little bit later. All right, but now, a lamp, I meant to bring it and I totally forgot, but you've got your flashlights. Today's day and age, we have flashlights. If I remember right, in England, they call those lamps. All right, so a lamp, it's something like this. It's a flashlight with batteries that you have to change twice throughout a eight hour. I don't know how long your lights were out, but over a period of time. But it provides light. Okay, a burning torch or a lantern. Biblically, it's used symbolically for the Word of God. If we, we already saw Psalm 119, 105, let's look at Proverbs 6, 23. I'm going to be jumping around a little bit. I think that's okay. Proverbs 6, 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruments are the way of life. We also, here between these two verses, we see that, the commandment is the lamp. Thy word is a lamp. God's word is a lamp unto our feet. God's word shows, it illuminates, okay? We'll get a little bit more into that a little bit later. But, you know, we see that it used symbolically for the word of God. It's used symbolically for life. Proverbs 13. It's interesting how this wasn't meant to be a study in Proverbs, but it kind of turned into one. Proverbs 13 verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. What is that telling us? You know, it's symbolically used for life. Verse 9. So the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Which, you know, the wicked, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit as well. You know, we have this, you know, the light being that of God, and then the darkness being that of Satan. We're going to look at that a little bit more here shortly. But that's what this contrast is here in verse 9. You know, we have the light of God, and then, you know, but the lamp of the wicked, you know, that the lamp of the world, it's going to be put out. Okay? We have Proverbs 20:20. Whosoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out, or shall be put out in obscure darkness. What is that verse saying? You know, to those that curses his mother or his father, what's that saying? They're going to be condemned. Okay, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Okay, they're going to be condemned. The light. We talked about the lamp. Now let's talk about the light that the lamp puts out. Okay, because we had the lamp itself. Now we're talking about what it does, the light of the lamp. Okay, again, Webster's 1828 dictionary, something that makes things visible or affords illumination. Okay? That, you know, it's a light. Yeah, Brother Patrick, we knew that. Yeah, well, you know, that comes from the 1828. Okay? Definitions change throughout the times. I don't know why, but they do. Okay? And, you know, so the light, you know, some things about the light, it illuminates the heavens. Okay? The sun, it puts out light. You can look outside and there's light all over the place right now. If I didn't have these shades there, we would see light coming in. You know, the sun is providing that light. When the sun's not out there, do we have no light? If the sun's not there, is light gone? No, we have the moon. We have the stars. All those provide light. They provide illumination. Okay? Those that have been in the field, whether hunting or in the military, know that, you know, sometimes a full moon is your best friend. Sometimes it's not, but sometimes a full moon is your best friend. Okay? So the sun, the moon, okay? It also represents righteousness and absence of sin. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what we see here in this passage, God is light. Okay, his word is light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, what does the Bible tell us? If we say we have the light, but we walk in darkness, we lie. Okay? Which means we don't have his light. Light here, again, being symbolic to righteousness, absence from sin. Okay? It also illustrates spiritual understanding. Again, Psalm 119, 105. I should have put my hand there. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're going to talk a little bit more about that phrase here shortly, but a light unto thy path. Okay? Again, you know, going back to my illustration earlier, you know, turning out all the lights, it would probably behoove me to turn a flashlight on or something so that I can see where I'm going. Okay? It's a light unto my path. We'll talk a little bit more about that here shortly. But it also, you know, it provides spiritual understanding. Okay? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 6. In whom the gods of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Excuse me. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what this passage here is, you know, again, spiritual understanding. Verse 6, you know, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Before we get saved, what is our heart condition? It's black, it's evil, depraved. But when we get saved and Christ comes into our hearts, what happens? We change. We go from people that don't love. Well, we love ourselves. But we change from somebody that loves ourselves to somebody that loves others. We change from not understanding. I know a lot of people that have said that they've read this book and they just don't get it. Don't understand how somebody can read it. It's boring, puts them to sleep, blah, blah, and I just don't understand it. But when you get saved and you get Christ in your heart, you turn around and you start reading the Bible and it's like, wow, I get it. Yeah, we get to the genealogies and we say, oh, Numbers. Leviticus. What goes on in Leviticus? All of those sacrifices. But you know what? You know why God puts that stuff in there? You know, and I'll use Leviticus with all those sacrifices. Do you know why God puts that in there? To show you His organization. To show you how organized He is. To show, you know, there's other reasonings behind the listing of the sacrifices. But one of the big ones is, hey, we worship and love an organized God. He is not a God of confusion. Okay? He's organized. And when He does that, He's showing us His organization. He's showing us, hey, you know, not only that, He's showing us, hey, you know what? All this stuff has a consequence. If you do this, there's stuff that there's a sacrifice for that is like, man, but that is just so little. But there's a reason. Okay? You know, why does God put the genealogy into the Bible? To point us to Jesus. To show us the line of Jesus. You know, not only that, there's been many times I've been reading in one of the later books, and I'm like, wait, I came across that name before. Let me go back. And sure enough, there he is in the genealogies, and I understand why a little bit more, why that person was mentioned. Okay, and why the genealogy was there. There's reasons. When Jesus enters our heart, when the Holy Spirit enters our heart, it allows us a spiritual understanding. Hence the light of God. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Before we're saved, we're dead in our sins. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we're alive. And he says, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake, and Christ shall give thee light. Okay, something I found interesting with this passage, the word light in here. Okay, and Christ shall give thee light. I took that word and I looked it up in Strong's Concordance. And Strong's Concordance says this form of light is used only once in the New Testament. Just once. Oh, it's used just once, so it doesn't mean a whole lot, right? Because if it's used once, it's got a very low priority, right? It's used once in the Old Testament. It's used three times it's used once in the New Testament, three times in the Old Testament, where the meaning is Christ will pour upon thee the light of divine truth as the sun gives light to men. That's this meaning of light. Okay? Basically, it's to give truth, give illumination to the right, the truths of God. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Ryrie also says of this light, okay, having obtained saving wisdom in communion with Christ, Ephesians 5 verse 8. everything made manifest by the aid of Christian truth, what we need to do is read verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So continuing on with what the Strong's Concordance had said, everything made manifest by the aid of Christian truth has taken on the nature of light, as that is true character and quality are no longer hidden. What's the definition of light? To illuminate, to bring out, to show. So that the true character and quality are no longer hidden. Okay? Here in an outward or physical sense, and regard the statement as a general truth, conformity is the assertion made respecting spiritual light, just as before. So here we, you know, basically here we see that, you know, the light is used when we see the word light used in the Bible, it's used for spiritual understanding. It's used for righteousness and absence of sin. Okay, and the third thing that it's used for is a witness of truth and God. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 7 through 9. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What do you notice about the word light in those verses? I'm sorry? It's uppercase. It's capitalized. It's referring to Jesus. Okay, Jesus, John, this passage here is talking about John being that messenger, that witness of Christ. Okay? That's what, you know, that passage is talking about. Okay? Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So we see, you know, those are just two of many passages that we see where, you know, the light is used to witness of truth and of God. Okay? So, you know, basically, right now what we've covered is the lamp. The lamp is used symbolically for for the Word of God. It's used symbolically for life. And then we have the light, which is righteous, illustrates righteousness and absence of sin, spiritual understanding, and then thirdly, a witness of truth and God. During all of those, we saw a contrast between light and darkness. Okay, and this point, you know, contrasting light and between light and darkness. We've already talked about it. Light represents God's Word. Mark chapter 12, I'll just read these. You don't have to turn to them for the sake of time. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Then we also can look at Exodus, chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night by a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Verse 22, and he took away the pillar of the cloud by day. Correction, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Okay, so, you know, what I'm saying is where there's light within the Bible, when it uses the word light, where there's light, there's going to be God. Okay, he never left the people of Israel, or the Israelites during the wilderness. He never left them. During the day, he was there with them by a pillar of smoke, by night, by a pillar of fire. In Mark, you know, he shows us his love. Okay, Matthew Henry says the commandment is a light kept burning with the oil of the Spirit, like the pillar of fire during the Exodus or the lamp in a sanctuary. I went with Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, you know, to show us, you know, that the commandment is a lamp kept burning with the oil of the Spirit. And my reasoning for that is, what is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Love. How easy is it for us to love one another? If we don't have the Spirit of God in our hearts, are we going to love one another? Not like God wants us to love one another. So what I'm saying, you know, in order to support what Matthew Henry said, you know, kept burning with the oil of the Spirit, without the Holy Spirit in our hearts, do we have Christ? No. Without the Holy Spirit, we do not have Christ. Okay? And with that, you know, showing the love of others. All right? Micah chapter 7, verse 8, and again, you don't have to go to this. Micah chapter 7, verse 8, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Again, the light represents God, you know, God represents His Word. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then we have John 11:9-10. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Again, Matthew Henry says this must be only a light to our eyes, to gratify them and to fill our heads with speculation, but a light unto our feet. And this is a part of a commentary for Psalm 119, 105. But a light unto our feet and to our path, to direct us in the right ordering of our conversation, both in the choice of our way in general and in particular steps we take in that way, that we may not take a false way nor a false step in or a false step in the right direction. What Matthew Henry is saying is the light of God provides us a path that we can walk and avoid the snares of this world. God, through His Word, through the Bible, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, provides that light, that lighted path that we can walk through so we don't hit that door in the face. So we don't stumble or kick that, stub our toe on that bedpost. Okay? Darkness. Darkness represents sin or the way of the world. Matthew 22, verse 13. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 25, verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come unto the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Proverbs 20:20. Whosoever curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Proverbs 13:9. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. During all of those verses, what did you notice about darkness? What did you notice about the darkness? Is that a place we want to be? I seem to remember two verses that said weeping and gnashing of teeth. Two verses that said that their lamp will be put out in utter darkness. So we see, you know, the contrast between light and dark. Light represents the Word of God. Darkness represents the sin and the way of the world. Do we see this happening even today? As we see the world, you know, we were joking a couple of weeks ago about the Super Bowl. Yeah, you know, we could just go ahead and watch the Super Bowl. Well, we got the TV back there now. We can go ahead and watch the Super Bowl during church service. What is the way of the world when it comes to the Super Bowl? Barbecue, drink, well, maybe not a barbecue, because it's cold, but food, alcohol, they're not in God's Word. That's the point. They're not in God's Word. You know, the things of the world are darkness. So in closing, light and dark. Can I get somebody to turn off the lights, please? To include the sound room lights, please. Uh-oh. No, I'm afraid I'm going to fall. There we go. I need a light. Here. Let me start a light. I think there's a very specific reason why the author of Psalm, David, use the illustration of a light. Or use the illustration of a lamp. It probably would have been something very similar to this. Not exact to this. But something very similar to this. Without this light, I can barely see to the back of the room. And we got some light coming in. But with this light out in front of me, I can see these pews. I can probably go between them. Yep, there's nothing in between here. Is there a whole lot of light going out? There's enough light for what? Huh? To see how far? 2-3 steps. There's enough light to show about 2-3 steps of my path. If I hold it down, I can see it a little bit better. I hold it up, you know, I can still pretty well see my path. But not very far in front of me, is it? This is where the faith of Christ comes in. The light of Christ, the light of the Word, our Bibles, the commandments of God. Does He want us to be able to see miles? Or does He want us to have that faith to take Him, or to have Him lead us step by step? That's the illustration. To be able to show us and keep us on a right path. I'm looking for the step. There it is. The lamp of God's Word. The lamp of His commandments, the lamp of His love, to keep us going in His light. Can we outwalk His light? No. But if the light is not in us, but if the light is not in us and we don't have Christ as our Savior, then it's going to look like this. Can we have the lights, please? Every head bow, every eye closed. Brings me to a song that Mrs. Byford played for us. Called "The Light of the World is Jesus." The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. It shines for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. If you don't have Christ in your heart, your world is as dark as it was right before the lights came on. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, Look at what's going on and accept Christ and accept His light and His protection and His guidance. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this time. We just ask that You be with this time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Okay, everybody go ahead and look this way. I want to thank you for coming and continue to keep Pastor and Joe in prayer for travel, and be sure to keep Pastor Nathan and Miss Karis in prayer as they travel back. They're already there. I do know that they're safe. Just continue to keep them in prayer through the conference. Brother Matthew, would you close us in prayer, please, sir?